Welcome to Active Word with Bishop Ishmael Sam of the Loyalty House International, a denomination originating from the Lighthouse Group of Churches, UDOLGC. Called of God, he ministers under the anointing of his father, Bishop Doug Heward Mills. Bishop Sam is the resident bishop of the Loyalty House International, Abbe Dowenya, off the Dowenya Afenya Link Road. He oversees many churches, both in Ghana and abroad. May the power of God be activated in your life today as you listen to Active Word.
Amen. Well, you are all welcome to church this evening. This is Wednesday, and as I said, usually this is our center meetings, and then Saturdays, Fridays and Saturdays are our center meetings. But because of the times and because of the reason for the times, we are meeting. I'm meeting all of you in your homes and wherever you are, in your percenters and your centers. So after the service, make sure you let your pastor know, your center leader know, your percenter leader know that you join the service on radio, you join the service on Facebook as well. Amen. God bless you. This lockdown, we have been coming your way always with something. And who knows, we are praying that doesn't extend. But if it extends, we'll still come your way with a lot more package. Amen. Well, before I continue preaching, I want to say thank you to all leaders, pastors, center leaders, bar-center leaders, bar-center leaders, all manner of leaders and shepherds in the church who have been calling your sheep to check up on them, who have been praying with your sheep and making sure that they are okay, they are all right. God bless all of you. God bless all of you for the work you are doing. And may God reward you for every effort that you are putting in so that the sheep that have been put under you will receive care. God richly bless all of you. And I must say that I really, really do miss you guys. But I know that very soon we will meet. Amen. Well, today I want to continue my faith message because in times like this, you also need faith. Having done all, we still need the supernatural. The supernatural is above all. So we still continue on our message on faith. Why are we preaching on faith? We are preaching on faith to encourage ourselves in the Lord. Encourage ourselves in the Lord to know that somehow, somehow, God is with us and God is moving with us. So I have titled this evening's message, Faith and Miracles. Wow. Faith and Miracles. And I'll be preaching verses here and there to encourage ourselves. I didn't even need to give the title. But I want all of us to have faith that God is with us. You see, without faith, it is impossible to please God. You know, whatever you are doing, if you don't have faith, you cannot please God, and God will not be happy with you. So whatever we are doing, the prayers we are praying, the giving we are giving, everything we are doing, we should do with faith that God indeed is involved in what we are doing. Amen. Wonderful. So I want us to read Psalm 78. Psalm 78, verse 41. Psalm 78, verse 41. Yea, they turned back and tempted God. They turned back and tempted God. And limited the Holy One of Israel. And limited the Holy One of Israel. What it means is that sometimes our actions, what we do or what we don't do, our actions and inactions can limit what God can do. Can limit what God can do. And this evening, I want to tell you that nothing that you do should limit what God can do. And if you have that mind that God is limitless, God can do all things, and you don't limit him, you are able to see how big God is in your life. You're always able to see how big God is in your life. Up until now, we have not seen how big God is, the mighty hand of God on your life, because you have limited him. Hallelujah. You have limited him. So whatever limitations we have made, whatever we have done to limit what God can do in our lives, we have to remove it from the way so we can see, we can walk by faith and see the hand of God in our lives, God working with us, God giving us miracles, and God coming our way. Amen, somebody. Amen. Wonderful. Now, this means that there are some conditions you must meet for faith. There are some conditions you must meet for faith. And certain things attract God. You know, certain things just attract God, just makes God move. And these are what sometimes I say, conditions for faith. It just attracts God, and it just makes God move. Amen. And we are just going to read a few because of time. We are going to read a few and we'll see what the Lord will do. Amen. In Mark chapter 2, Mark chapter 2, verses 1 to 5, we are going to see that faith attracts God for miracles. Faith attracts God for miracles. Hallelujah. How many of you are believing God for miracles? Your faith will attract God to come your way. You know, people have so many things they do to attract people. When they do it, they know that this person will look my way. Hallelujah. Amen. Sometimes the ladies know what to do for the men to look their way. Hallelujah. Amen. So we are asking you, I'm asking you that there are certain things that you do that will attract God, and God will move your way. Hallelujah. And let's see an example of faith in action for God to move your way. Mark chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. It says, "And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in town and in the house. When he entered, he didn't do any flyers, he didn't do any adverts, but word went out that Jesus is in town." Hallelujah. Word went out that Jesus is in town. Verse 2. "And straight away, many were gathered together in so much that there was no room to receive them." Wow. When you gather, may people come so much that there will not be room enough to receive them in the name of Jesus. And they came unto him, verse 3. "And they came unto him, bringing one sick of palsy, which was born of four," which was born of that, "carried by four people." Verse 4. "And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press," when they could not come, when the people were coming with the man sick of palsy, four people were carrying the man, but they couldn't find a way through. The crowd was so thick that they couldn't find a way through the crowd to go to Jesus with their sick brother, with their sick friend, with their sick brother, the person who needs somebody. Hallelujah. You know, there are times you need to carry somebody to Jesus. You have God. You have your blessings. You have your everything. But there are times that you need to carry people to Jesus, because they also need this Jesus in their lives. Hallelujah. So, when they couldn't go in, verse 4, "When they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay." Wow. So when they couldn't go in, they took their brother to the house that Jesus was meeting in, somebody's household. They took their brother there. Then they started removing the roof of the building. It was like, come what may, our brother must meet Jesus. Come what may, we know that when Jesus sees this guy, or when Jesus touches this guy, this person will be healed. So they knew in their heart, without any shadow of doubt, that Jesus, if only this guy can get to Jesus, he will be made whole. That was their faith. So they removed the roof. And if the house was sealed, you know, they also removed the ceiling of the house. So they removed it, they uncovered it, and they let down the bed when the sick of the palsy lay. verse 5. What is important? When Jesus saw their faith, when Jesus did what? When Jesus did what? Saw their faith. You see, Jesus sees the things that you do that stands for faith. You see, anybody at all could have just taken a sick person there. And I'm sure as Jesus was preaching, the room was full. It was full of people who needed a kind of one blessing or the other from Jesus. You see, but what Jesus saw, the faith that Jesus saw, was the action of the people. It was, sometimes faith requires action. Something that you do to mean that you believe what you are doing. You believe in the thing. That is faith. So Jesus saw it when the action was taken for faith. And Jesus saw it. And just Bible says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick, son, thy sins be forgiven. So when he saw their faith, the faith, you see, Jesus, when God sees faith, there's nothing he can do but to respond to faith. Yes. When he sees faith, there's nothing he can do but to respond to faith. That's why faith moves mountains. There's nothing God can do. So we need to have faith that God is going to do it, and let our actions show. Let our actions show that we believe. If you believe that God is with you where you are, your actions will show. Even the way you are watching the way you are watching me preach, the way you are listening to me preach, the way you are taking the whole service, that you are in the company of innumerable number of angels. You believe that God has entered your room. You will stop going up and down and sit down and listen to me. Because you see, you believe that you are fellowshipping with God. You believe that all over the world, we have gathered and we are fellowshipping with God, and God is with us wherever we are. So you also have to sit down and receive the word as it is. Don't be going around taking water for your children, serving your husband, going up and down. Assume that you are in church and see yourself in church. See yourself in church and flow. And God will see your faith at home. You know, sometimes some of you, because we are home, the temptation is that even whilst you are watching the video, we are listening to a message, then, oh, let me go and take this. Let me go and pick it. Let me go. But anyway, you miss a very important word. You miss a very important time of ministration. And then all your watching be in vain. All your service be in vain. Do you get it? So pay attention to the service. Be in the service properly. Be in the service properly and be in the service to the end. Be part of everything that we are doing. And I believe that God will see where you are. You see where. How many of you know that I'm not seeing where you are? I don't even know what you are wearing. I don't know what you are wearing. I don't know what you are doing. But do you know that God sees you? And God knows what you are doing now. God knows that you have just put the Facebook on, and then you are doing something else, so that your name is registered that you are watching. God sees you. Hey, you are the one who needs miracles. God sees you. So you better sit down and watch the service and be in the service properly. And you will be blessed. Hallelujah. God sees our faith. Listen to another faith that attracted and received miracle. Another faith that attracted and received miracle. Mark 5:30. Very popular story about the woman with issue of blood. But I'm not going to read all the story. I'm just going to read a few things to let you know that faith works miracles. And faith attracts God. What makes you attractive? What makes a woman attractive is their lipstick, their face, things that they do. And if the man is spiritual, their spiritual lives makes them attractive. So the man sees them, and the man goes towards them. Something makes him attractive. It's not what you are wearing. No, your faith pleases him and makes you attractive to him. How many of you want to make yourselves attractive to God today and forever? Hallelujah. I see that you want to make yourself attractive to God. Mark 5:30. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him. Knowing himself that virtue has gone out of him. What has happened? What has happened? Because you see, so many people have gone to Jesus. So many people were praying to him. So many people were asking him to touch them, to bless them, to do something. And suddenly, Jesus said that someone has touched me. I feel in me that someone has touched me. Wow. I feel in me that someone has touched me. All the people were confused. But you see, the touch that touched Jesus was a touch of faith. Not just a touch of faith. You see, so he turned and said, who touched my clothes? Who touched my clothes? They were surprised because so many people, in fact, the crowd was so thick that people were touching him here and there. So they were surprised that he was asking that question, that who touched my clothes? You see, many people will be going to Jesus. But when you are able to have, when you have faith, he will leave everyone and attend to you who has faith. Hallelujah. So you are watching me today and you have faith in your room. Jesus will leave everyone and come to you alone if you have faith. So today, try and have faith. Hallelujah. Today, try and have faith because Jesus will leave all and come to you. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Then Mark 5:34, when he jumped to verse 34. And he said unto her, daughter, your beauty has made thee whole. Daughter, your crying has made thee whole. Daughter, your shouting has made thee whole. No, he said, daughter, your faith had made thee whole. Hallelujah. So it was the faith. Look, you can even, you know, you can even go to church and come back, nothing will happen to you. Because, you see, when you are going to church, you have to have faith in you that you are going to meet God. That's what the Bible says, he who comes to God must believe that he is. He is. And he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you believe that God is, and you wake up in the morning, you are preparing for service, you are preparing to go to church, everything, your attitude and everything, even it starts from Saturday evening. Your attitude and everything changes. It's like, hey, I'm going to meet God. God is coming my way. And God sees that from the time you start preparation till you come to church and you sit through the church, God sees all those things. And he said, look, this person is making himself or herself attractive to me. And I need to respond to his or her need. Hallelujah. So faith is beautiful. Faith is the beauty that attracts God. Hallelujah. That beauty that attracts God is faith. So clothe yourself with faith. Put faith in your heart. Walk by faith. Do everything by faith. Whatever, if look, even the work you are doing as a Christian, as a shepherd, as a leader, as a singer, everything you are doing, do by faith. That look, what I'm doing it and I know that I'm doing it to God. God will be pleased with you and God will bless you. Hallelujah. Because without faith, you can't please God. And the just shall also live by faith. Hallelujah. So miracles happen to people who have faith. You see, because God is attracted to people of faith. People of faith. Hallelujah. God also responds to people who involve him. Who have faith enough to involve him. Because at the moment you go to God to involve him, you know, you are declaring that he is the only person, or you are declaring you have faith in him. Look at this time of the pandemic. Everybody has turned to God. You see, everybody has turned to God. What's the world saying? All the world is saying that it's part of the Father, we are doing all our things. We have come to see that there is a God somewhere. There is a God somewhere. And this alone, I believe that he pleases God, that the world knows that he is. The world, we don't need him to shake himself or let something happen before, but the world knows that he is. Amen. So God is moved when we involve him. So Christian man, Christian sister, try and involve God in what you are doing. Try and involve him. Hallelujah. Try and involve him. Mark 4:37. Mark 4:37 following. Try and involve God. Because faith will give you miracles. Hallelujah. A miracle is something that beats natural understanding. It doesn't make for natural. You cannot explain it naturally. But it happens. It happens to you. And many of you need miracles. And it's going to happen to you. Just believe that miracles do happen. Hallelujah. Mark 4:37. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. Everybody say, Peace, be still. He said, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Hallelujah. That's how they have this song. Unipa benina oka sama frama yezi unipa benina oka sama frama yezi oka sa oka sama frama oka sama frama unipa benina oka sama frama ayezi. That is why we sing the song. He speaks and the wind ceased. Hallelujah. And there was calm. There was calm. You see, now that what happened here is very important. You can easily read and just go over it. But Jesus was with them on the boat. And the storm came. When the storm came, you know, when they went to Jesus, almost like, God, don't you care? And most of us, that's what happened to us. When God asked us to do something, because remember, Jesus was the same person who asked them that they cross over to the other side. So they were on their way to the other side. And so it's like, oh, you, God, you asked us to do this. You asked us to give our lives to you. You asked us to start this ministry. You asked us to start this work. You asked us to go here. And look at what is happening to us. Why did you bring us this way? And you not care? Why have you allowed them to do this to us? Almost like you don't care. But let me tell you something. It is not that God doesn't care. God always cares. And when God said, let's cross over to the other side, as far as God was concerned, you were going to get to the other side. And as far as God was, did you think that Jesus didn't know that he was going to get to the other side? He knew. So the storm that had come, it has come. But as for him, he knows he will go to the other side. That's why he was asleep. I am sure that if they had not woken him up, he would not have rebuked anyone and he would still have arrived anyway. But he was asleep. So he would have been asleep in the storm. By the time the storm would have carried the boat and even fastened the journey. By the time the journey had been faster than they imagined, but the storm would just go up like that and push the ship forward. He was asleep. In other words, he had left all to God to care for. Hallelujah. Sometimes you must allow yourself to sleep. You must allow your... In other words, you must not care too fret. You must not be too careful, too anxious. Allow yourself some small sleep. Hallelujah. He was asleep, but you see, until they went to him. So imagine that these disciples, when they went to see him sleeping, they got bored that this guy, he will not care. If he would care, he would not be sleeping. And they went back to use their own strength to do their work. What would have happened to them? You see, so Jesus might be with you on the boat, but it doesn't mean that don't go to him in times of trouble. It doesn't mean so. So dear Christian brother, you may be a spiritual person, you may be whatever, but you need to go to God in times of crisis, or even all the time. Go to him, involve him in your decisions. Involve him in your decisions. And when you involve God, you make yourself attractive to him. You make yourself attractive. So because Jesus asked them, he said unto them, why are you so fearful? Verse 40. Why are you so fearful? Why is it that you have no faith? Why are you so fearful? Why is it that you have no faith? Ask your husband sitting by you. Ask your wife sitting by you. Ask your children. Why are you so fearful? Why is it that you have no faith? Ask your friend. Why is it that you have no faith? That any storm that comes, the things that come out of your mouth, you know, it's very important what comes of your mouth, out of your mouth, no matter what happens. Very, very important. What comes out of your mouth, no matter what happens. Joel 3:10. He said, beat, Joel 3:10. He said, beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, let the weak say, I am strong. Hallelujah. You know, so God himself recognizes the fact that there is a pandemic. There is a problem. You are weak. But he said, don't, he knows you are weak. Faith is the ability to know that you have a problem and yet go beyond that problem and look at the word of God and go to God with that word. That is faith. You know the problem is there, but you don't go to God telling him about the problem. No. God also knows there's a problem. He said, come to me and tell me what I have said about you. That is faith. That is what moves God. When you do that, now God's self comes like that. And he shakes him and says, this is my son. He knows me. Therefore, he shall do exploit. I will show myself strong on his behalf, on her behalf. So let the weak say, let the poor say, I am rich. Let the sick say, I am healed. Look, sometimes you can see that you are so sick in your body. You can feel that you are so sick in your body. And yet, you get up and say, I am healed. I am okay. It is well with me. Because you have gone to God. And he doesn't need you to repeat your problems. He said, let the weak say. Let the weak say. Hallelujah. And so, Jesus, when you involve Jesus, he knows the problem. He knows everything. But when you go to him, say what you have to say by the word of God. Don't go and blame God. Hallelujah. And that is faith. That is faith. And let us walk by faith. Let me tell you something. Faith grows. Faith increases. Faith cometh. It cometh. It comes. It comes. It increases. That's why we have strong faith and weak faith. We have strong faith and weak faith. You see? So your faith can be... We also have increasing faith. So faith grows. Faith increases. And all this time, I've been trying to talk to you about making your faith grow. Making your faith big. So that you can face whatever comes your way and overcome it and walk in miracles. Hallelujah. And miracles will come your way. Jesus just said that, be still. And it was still. Hallelujah. So miracle happened to the people who involve God by faith. Who have faith enough that in the midst of all, God is able to bless and to save and to do miracles. Hallelujah. Listen, miracles happen to those who have boldness to do whatever God has said they should do. Boldness to do whatever God has said they should do. You see, because many times, the things God will tell you to do, beloved, if you are not a spiritual person, and you are not a man or a woman of faith, you will not do it. And you can easily question it. You can look at the life of Naaman. Naaman needed his own miracle. He went to God, he went to a prophet, and he needed his miracle. Then the prophet said that, go to the river and dip in the river 7 times. Go to the river, dip yourself in the river 7 times. Now, this is how God was going to do it. And you can see that the person was actually not happy. And it's not only Naaman. Naaman only portrays how so many of us are. The way we react to faith and God's instructions. It is only Naaman who said it and it's been written. But many times in your heart, you behave like Naaman. So Naaman said, why should I go and do this? Are there not many rivers? See, so are there, why should I go and dip myself in this dirty river? Why should I go and do it? You know, well, this is the things that God asks us to do. Many times, it doesn't make sense. But you see, the foolishness of God the worst foolishness, if there's anything I can use to describe it, is the greatest wisdom of man. The highest wisdom of man is the greatest foolishness of God. Hey, can you imagine? When you say you are wise, why you're wise? Why you're wise? I call Pluto, I call Sray, I call planet, I call all the things. Why you're wise? Boom, is the foolishness of God. Hey! So you can never be wiser than God. So God says, go and dip yourself in the river 7 times. Look, people of faith will do it. And when you are doing it, people of so-called wisdom will blame you. They will say, they will criticize you. They will laugh at you. They say, why are you doing this? I can imagine Naaman, some of his friends, who were other generals around, if they had seen Naaman following this prophet, and the prophet tell him, go and dip yourself in the river. I can imagine the discussions they will have about Naaman on radio. I can imagine the things they will talk about, they will say about Naaman. All sort of things. You see? But that is what also, you should not stop following your God. Because you know that, yes, people can't easily understand God. That's all. Even you yourself, sometimes you don't understand what you are doing. You're only moving by faith. You yourself, you also don't understand. You're also moving by faith. And oftentimes, it works if it is indeed by faith in God. Hallelujah. So, you have to believe. That's why Jesus' mother told them in John 2:5 that his mother said to the servant, do whatever he tells you. Do whatever he tells you. And then after that day, the first miracle of Jesus, when he turned water to wine, that's how he started. He said, do whatever he tells you to do. Why? Because Jesus' mother knew that this man will say something that these people will easily ignore. They will easily ignore. They will say that this cannot solve our problem. They will say this cannot solve our problem. They will easily ignore. So he said, whatever he tells you, do. And when they did it, look at what happened to them. So miracles happen to people who have faith in the way God does his things. So, and they have the boldness to do it. Hey, the other time, 5,000 people were following Jesus. 5,000 people were following Jesus. And they found themselves in a very difficult situation. Because they were following Jesus, some of them didn't know that he would talk for that long. And he would walk further away from town like that. So by the time they could say, Jack, they were somewhere and all the shops have closed. Even if they had money, they couldn't go and buy anything. And Jesus had to give them food to eat. And what did Jesus do? He takes 5 loaves of bread. 5 loaves of bread. And 2 fishes. 5 loaves of bread. When he asked them to bring the bread, the disciples were like, this man, he wants to eat so that we'll be hungry. These 5 loaves, who is going to eat it? These 5 loaves. So they were thinking about, Jesus, all of us are here. You are asking for 5 loaves. You see? But someone had faith enough to take it and give it to him. And what did Jesus do? He multiplied the 5 loaves and the fishes. And what happened? He fed all of them. Hallelujah. So Jesus, just have faith. When Jesus said that the body you are taking is my body, have faith in the communion. He said, the blood is my blood. Have faith in it. And believe that this blood will do things. I mean, I'm having so many testimonies and several testimonies about what the blood does, especially whenever we have Good Friday gathering at the Independence Square. Many people, you see, just believe it. Believe it. Hallelujah. Are you there? You've gone home. Yeah. Hallelujah. Look at this one, the widow woman. God wanted to bless somebody, a widow woman, of course, whose husband has died, and had a child, and all that he had was almost finished. She had was almost finished, too. And God wanted to bless him. Look at the method God used. If it was our time in our day, we would say so many things. So be bold and believe in the things that God said you should do. Be bold and believe in it. When you do it by faith, you see, because you can do a lot of things, but if you don't do it by faith, it doesn't really, well, mercies will drop. But if you do it by faith, it really attracts God, and God is moved for you. Hallelujah. God is moved for you. So Faith is very important. And faith will make miracles happen. Faith will make things happen. God wanted, you see, when God says he will do anything, just believe it. Just believe it. Just believe it. Hallelujah. All the prayers we are praying, believe them. Believe them that God is hearing and God is answering. He said to the people, he told them, tomorrow by this time, what you are struggling for, it will be so much in town. Supply will cease demand so much so that you will have to reduce prices. They didn't believe. They didn't believe, but it took four lepers outside of the gate. They were not even in the city. God used four lepers. So I'm saying this for you to not to limit God in any way. That when God says he will do a thing, believe it. And if there's ever a time that you have to believe God, believe every promise he has made concerning your life. You know, faith is also believing the promises God has said. Everything God has said about your life, believe it. And believe that God is talking about you. And it is meant to work for you. It is not just there. It is not just there. You know, many times I tell people about the fact that because we are so used to things that don't work, we also think that faith doesn't work. We are so used to saying things we don't do, promises we don't fulfill. So we become so used to it that when we also read the promises of God, we think God is like us. But God is not a man. Amen. God is not a man that he should lie or should. If God says this, he will do it. God doesn't need your vote to say things for you to be excited so that you vote for him. No. He's not standing for an election that he needs your vote. Hallelujah. God's word is God's word. And God means everything he has said and he said concerning your life. Amen. God's word is God's word. He means everything that he has said concerning your life. Faith works. Yes. Some of you have so many things in your houses that don't work. When I come to your room right now, you will see so many things are there. They don't work, but you have packed them. Even perfume boxes. Empty perfume boxes. Watches. Even wigs that you have finished wearing. You have packed all of them. They don't mean anything. So when we say faith works, you don't know that faith works. Amen. So beloved, don't limit God. Don't limit God. And there are certain things that we do that really limits God. That really limits God. And one of the things is doubt. Doubt. When we doubt, that you are questioning the validity of what you have heard. You are questioning God. You doubt it. It's like, Will God do it? You know, because circumstances do not look like the thing is done. Meanwhile, he says, let the sick say, I am healed. But you are the one who you are feeling the fever. You are feeling the headache. You are feeling the pain. And the Bible said, let the person who is feeling the pain says, I am okay. This is where the problem comes. I'm not okay. You know you are not okay. That is a fact. But what is the truth? Now that is a fact, but what is the truth? The truth is that God says you are okay. But you still feel that you are not okay. But we are not moved by what we feel. We are moved by the word of God. Hallelujah. So wherever you are, be moved by the word of God. I see God with you. I see God coming your way. I see you are strong. I see you are healed. I see you have overcome. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Sometimes someone will be saying something and you look at the reality, you may even think that the person is lying. No, he's not lying. He's just telling you the truth that he is rich. Amen. So doubt is very, very important if you want to operate and walk by faith to receive miracles. Mark 11, 23. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. James said, a double-minded person is unstable, and let that man not think that he shall receive anything from God. So a doubtful person will never receive anything from God. You get it? So believe it. When you say it, believe it and act as though you have faith. Ask as though the thing has happened. And it is done. Hallelujah. So faith is not easy to walk by faith, but it is also the key to your miracles. It's easy if you believe God. Hallelujah. So how many of you are believing God today? Believe him and walk by faith. Those listening to me on radio, watching me on Facebook, have faith. Hallelujah. Tell yourself, I have faith. Amen. So don't doubt. Don't doubt. Another thing that limits God in your life and that has limited God is when you are natural. You see, when you are natural. I mean, being natural is being yourself, isn't it? Being your natural self. But you see, we are Christians and we are supposed to be supernatural. We are supposed to be supernatural. That means that we are supposed to believe in certain laws, certain spiritual laws of the Lord. That makes us supernatural. Hallelujah. And 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, But the natural man, not the sinful man. A natural man is not a sinner. He's just a Christian who is just being natural, being himself. Like, me, I'm natural. I know that 2 plus 2 is 1. 1 plus 1 is 2. Hey, sorry, 2 plus 2 is 4. Hey, this is our student. I know that 2 plus 2 is 4. 1 plus 1 is 2. You are being natural. That's okay. You have not sinned. But let that man, Bible said, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. What are the things of the Spirit of God? Faith that works. It is something you should receive. The pastor will be telling you some things, spiritual things. You don't have to be natural. A natural man is one who is so calculated and want to know and understand why you are saying this, why you are saying that. I cannot explain. I'm not God. I'm also having faith in the word of God. And I will have testimonies to tell. After that, there's nothing else. We can't go beyond what God has said. After some point, it's God himself. God should prove himself. After some point, it's God who proves himself. And so, don't be too natural. Be spiritual. A spiritual Christian is not easily convinced by what natural people say. Because he already knows that natural people cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. He already knows. And so I don't usually fight with natural people. Because we have all been there before. And you can be a Christian and be natural. And you can be unbeliever and you are natural. A natural person is someone who is just being natural. That's all. Do you get it? And you don't receive anything of God. So, and this limits God. And also when you waver, you know, wavering is like doubting. Wavering as you can't make up your mind. You cannot make up your mind. Today you are with this sister. Tomorrow you are this brother. Today you are this sister. You don't know which one to marry. You can't make up your mind. You are wavering. Everything moves you. Hey. Everything moves you. James 1:5. If any man lets let him ask of the Lord. 5-8. Let him ask of the Lord. That giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of God. He that wavereth, you are wavering. Anything moves you. Today somebody says this, hey, you are following. Tomorrow somebody says, hey, you are following. You can't make up your mind. Make up your mind with the word of God. Amen. And be strong on it. You will see the miracle hand of God in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You see the miracle hand of God in your life. And of course, fear limits God. And so this time, as you are going through all this period, and this is not for this period, this is for us to live with. It's for us to, we are supposed to live by faith. Let us have faith. Once again, I believe that this period will come and pass. And you become stronger than ever before. Amen. This period will come and pass, and all your fears will be put to rest. you will see how mightily the Lord will stand behind you. How strong the Lord will show himself on your behalf. You'll be shocked and surprised the things that God will do with you and for you. As you have faith in him, as you trust him in all things, and God will see you through. So just flow. Be involved with everything that we are doing. Join in everything that we are doing. Be involved. Flow with everything. I see the Lord coming your way powerfully in the name of the Lord Jesus. I want us to make a prayer, and then we'll take our offering and we'll close. You listen to me on radio, you watch me on Facebook, and you want to say, Pastor, I want you to pray for me. I want to give my life to Jesus. Good Friday is coming, when Jesus died on the cross for our sins. I want to nail my sins in the cross, and I want to take this step of faith in the Lord. Please pray for me. Wherever you are, just say this with me. Say, Dear Lord Jesus.
Dear Lord Jesus.
I believe in my heart.
I believe in my heart.
That Jesus Christ. Is the Son of God.
Is the Son of God.
I believe in my heart. Everything the Bible says. About Jesus. That he died for my sins. And he rose again for my sins.
Lord Jesus.
I confess that I'm a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. And wash me with your blood. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
That you have forgiven me of my sins.
I confess. That Jesus is Lord.
Is Lord.
From today. I take you, Lord Jesus.
Into my heart.
Into my life.
As my Lord.
And my personal Savior.
Thank you.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
God bless you for listening to Active Word with Bishop Ishmael Sam. For copies of today's message or any other message by Bishop Sam, please contact us on 0244-534-816. You can also send Bishop Sam an email at pastorishmael@yahoo.com. For prayer and counseling, you can contact us on 0246-939-984. To support this program, send your donations via mobile money to 055-874-2922 or 050-940-0044. You can join us in worship via YouTube and Facebook Live this and the coming Sundays at Bishop Ishmael Sam -DHMM from 9:30 a.m. to 11 a.m. for the period that social gatherings, including church gatherings, are not rightfully allowed. Stay tuned and God bless you.